Like, all right, man, finally here. Gonna get ready to record some Up in Smoke, new episode for 88. Just got to get into the studio. God damn it, it's locked. Fucking Freddy, I don't even know why he locked the door. He knew I was coming. Hey, Freddy, open the door. It's me. Hey, Freddy. Freddy, you hear me? Open the door.
Who is it?
Santos.
Who?
Open the door.
Who?
Nerd, open the freaking door. Why are you messing around? It's Santos. Open the door.
Santos? Hey, Santos not here, man.
Now let's fire up those time circuits. Set it to 1978, because today we're traveling back in time to revisit Up in Smoke.
My calculations are correct. When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Everybody, welcome back to another episode of 88 Miles Per Hour Podcast. I am your host, Santos, and as always, I am joined by...
Freddy Morales. ¿Cómo están todos? Bienvenidos al show.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Today, if you're listening to us on the national holiday, that is...
Hell yeah.
420, you are in for a treat. That's right. We are releasing a special 420 episode. And this episode, we are bringing you the 1978 film Up in Smoke. That's right. Yeah. Woo.
Woo.
All right. Before we start talking about the movie, we're going to give you a little bit of a behind the scenes of our podcast. All right. So right now, this is Monday night. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we had planned to record this on Sunday. So my goal was to do, you know what? We're going to do an episode and we're going to do it high. Like, that's the best way to do this episode. We have to be high. 420. Let's do it. So what happened? I've taken a gummy before for one of the episodes. So I thought, you know what? It was 5 milligrams. I'm going to step it up a notch because I've had the sleepy time ones at 10 milligrams and it knocked me the hell out. So I'm like, all right, you know, I'll take an extra gummy, you know, so I did two.
Mira, I'm taking an extra gummy, mira.
It was Mr. Tough Guy right here.
Mr. Tough Guy. Dame tres, I'm tough, eh?
So I took two and me and Freddie, as we're going to get ready to record, we're sitting on Zoom. It starts hitting me, but fuck, man. It started making the room spin bad. Like, I felt so dizzy. Just thinking about it right now is making me dizzy.
That's,
like,
that's like a hangover with wine, bro. Oh. A dizzy? I've never heard of a pot making you dizzy.
Like, yeah, it was like making the room spin and everything. And Freddie's like, you know what, bro? Go lay down, like go relax, take your shoes off, you know. So I went to go lay down, dude. And my wife knew what was up, right? She knew what we were going to do. And there's so many times where, like, she would come talk to me and I'm like, afterwards I would ask her, did we just have a conversation? Did you just ask me? She's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. Cause I thought we did, but I was just like, I don't know, man. I was tripping, but it didn't feel like weed, bro. It felt like as if I was on acid or some shit.
Damn,
like,
bro. They gave you the wrong package, bro.
Yeah, it was like, what the hell? Like, yeah.
That was for someone else. Weed doesn't make you feel like that, bro.
No, see, if I would have done like a vape or some shit, maybe it would have been a different story, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, like, you know, of course, I take sativa, you know?
Yeah.
When I'm talking, it's 420 for me every day, bro, so... Ever since the pandemic, it's been 420, dog. 420. My mom's like, 420, mijo. They were going, ah, mira, esto es par de marihuanos. And yes, it is. We're celebrating 420. And if you don't know what 420 is, guess 420. What is 420? It's just April 20.
Yeah. Well, because I remember, like, when I was in high school, you would always hear 420. It's like, oh, that's the call sign for the cops and the drugs. Like, you know. And but I don't think that was true. I don't remember why. Why is, I'm not a
It's biased. Evolved.
I don't know,
it's,
bro.
It's evolved. It's evolved. I didn't become, I didn't start smoking pot till later in my life, bro. There was pot during my high school in the 80s. I saw other kids doing it, but I couldn't bring that shit at home. My dad would be like, hey, I don't want no druggies, no drogadictos, no marihuanos. Si quieren andar de marihuanos, go outside. Fuera.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to do that to my parents. But, dude, I was around. All my friends were smoking pot. But
yeah, that's how it was for me, dude. In high school, like, everybody was fucking it's hardcore just, potheads.
It's
and
just amazing.
You froze, bro. Okay, I just lost Freddy. All right, well, while Freddy's gone, I'm going to tell you guys a nice, happy story. All right, so if any of my friends listen from high school to my show, they're going to hate me. But, like, all right, so when it comes to, you know, freaking in high school, like, I wasn't really a pothead. Like, my friends, like, they smoked out a lot. But here's whenever potheads hear, nah, I've never done it, they always want to be the first to get you high. Like, oh, what? He's like, oh, come on, here, I'll get, you know what? Come smoke. I'll give you a joint, whatever. Like, get high with me. So anytime, because I knew a lot of people in high school, anytime I was around people, I would act like I've never done it before. So one, I never once paid. I never pitched in anything because they always want to be like, this is your first time? All right, no, I got you. I got you.
those are the tricks to get a free joint.
So I did that. All the time, dude. I'm not saying I did it a lot because there was, you know, as how many times you could pull it off, but I did it plenty times where I was like, all right, I'm not going to do it. You know, I'm like just, so yeah. So I always got the freedom because they always knew, like, he's like, oh, no, Santos, he's clean, dude. He doesn't want to do it. Nah, you know, I'll try to get him. And yeah, I would always get hooked up all the time, dude. I never paid once.
Dude, marijuana, I remember when I first saw marijuana in the house, my grandmother, Mama Chelo, God rest her soul, who lived to be 100, passed away 3 years ago. Dude, she used to have a jar with marijuana leaf and alcohol inside or something. And it was to cure arthritis. It was to cure a rash, whatever. But they always had. And I was like, so it's funny because we, you know, my generation, like my parents and then my grandparents, they all had a jar with marijuana. I'm like, first of all, how'd you get the marijuana? Where did you get the marijuana? Oh, from the special doctor in the neighborhood. Oh,
are you serious? You know what?
Yeah, bro.
Is that a Latino thing or a Mexican
thing? Yes, it is. It's a Mexican thing,
because
bro.
my wife, like, I remember, like, when we first moved, like, where the pantry, there is a jar of all this weed. I'm like, the hell? Why is that there? He's like, oh, it's weed. It's like,
for it's medicine. Like, it's what? Medicine. Love. It's medicine, bro.
Let me see if I could get my love. I have a question for you. If you could come over here real quick. Yeah, because you said like everybody at the house had a jar.
Yeah.
So why? Because he's telling me that everybody that he knew, like all the adult, like the older generation, like they all have jars of marijuana, but it's for medicine purposes. We had a jar. What was it for?
We have.
Have, yes, he have.
Oh, you have, so you do have. So every Mexican in the family has a jar.
Why do we have it?
Because you use it for like sore muscles.
Yeah, exactly. Arthritis, whatever.
Yeah. See, if you have lumas.
Rimas.
Rimas?
That's not
rimas.
What's rimas?
Lumas. Growing pains.
Yeah, when you have growing pains, it's much easier to say it in English. Yeah, if you have growing pains, why don't you even say it like that?
Oh my goodness.
Should you take some edibles right now?
So
what'd you call it? All right, so yeah, see, it's a Mexican thing then, because he's saying a lot of his family, the older family members, had jars of did this shit literally kick in already?
Marijuana.
Yeah.
I thought that was soda.
No, that's why I didn't want Milo to share. Yeah, I'm getting You know, we're gonna have a party today, but yeah, yeah, okay. So yeah, so ladies and gentlemen, you know, you go to Latinos, you know anybody? They probably have a jar of weed.
Because you never know, dude.
It's not to get high.
No, no,
you never. Your knees. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, you never know. Because as Mexicans, we like to have parties.
And my wife is looking at me weird for some reason. Why? Because it is, right?
It's for sore aches and pains.
See, sores, aches, and pains. That's what it's for.
Real Mexicans have that.
Yeah, we probably didn't. We didn't know. Yeah, right. My dad would be like, yes, okay, nah. My dad didn't even want to let me to learn how to play a guitar because he thought I was going to get into drugs.
You know, my father was just strict, like flat out. My dad was old school. Like my dad was like Pedro Infante. Like that's somebody that old school my dad was. Like,
yeah, nah.
And he was my like, hey, still old school. Shit. He was like, if you're going to be in music, I don't want chingaderas. I don't want no drugs. So I didn't do any marijuana because I wasn't interested at first of all. And then, yeah, I had friends, but I wasn't hanging out with the marihuanos. I would see them with other friends and then they would be smoking. And then they would, of course, they were like, hey, Freddie, man, you want to try it out? Have you ever tried it? And yeah, I did try it one time. There was a peer pressure because I was at a party. It was funny.
Oh, man. Look at that peer pressure.
I mean peer pressure. It was peer pressure, bro. It was very, you know.
They're like, come on, Freddie.
Yeah, everybody was, come on.
Mr. Duran, get over here.
Come on, Mr. Dave Gahan. Meet Mr. Duran. Come on.
Come on, man. Are you clean? That's why you can't do it?
Right. And my best friend's like, you got to do it, bro. They're going to call you, man. That's it. You got to do
gonna
it.
They're going to make fun of you.
I make fun of you, dude. You're gonna be, the duck of the school. What the duck?
Wait, what? The duck of the school? What's that?
I don't know, bro. I've never heard of that either.
You just came up with it now. The duck of the school.
I wanted to use another word, but I can't use that. There you go. See what all I mean?
Right. No. I know what they would have called you.
Yeah,
I understand
that word.
Because,
but
yeah,
I want
in high school living. That's what it'd been. You didn't want to drink. That's what they would. They would call you. Come
exactly.
on,
man. You're the duck. Hey, you duck. You're the duke of the school.
Dude. Well, if we could get duke shirts school, made, dude. That's a shirt.
Oh my duck god, of the school. School. So I took a hit of this joint. First time, right?
Yeah.
So my friend goes, and everybody's all right, Freddie. And I did all that shit. And then I was like, I'm gonna get the fuck out of here. So I went to the kitchen and this was at a ditching party, bro.
Oh, those are the best.
This happened in 85. Get this. So I'm in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Wow, 15 years old.
Wow.
But first, this was the first time, and after that, I never tried it, you know?
Yeah.
It was the peer pressure. then, dude, I'm in the kitchen, bro, and I start cracking up. And then these girls are looking at me, and I'm looking at them, and I'm like cracking up, dude, just,
yeah.
You know? And they're like, Freddie, what's up, dude? I go, I don't know, dude, I can't stop laughing. I'm just laughing. And all of a sudden, the earthquake starts. There's an earthquake, bro.
Oh.
And there was that Northridge earthquake in 85.
What? No, Northridge was in 85.
Wait, wait, wasn't it?
Was no, it? Wait, Northridge like... was 92 or 93.
Oh, sorry.
No, there was one in 85, but it wasn't Northridge, bro.
Okay, it wasn't earthquake. Northridge. That was later.
Yeah, that was 90 something. Northridge earthquake, because I know it was in the early 90s.
Well, I wasn't. It was. Okay, sorry.
It doesn't matter. It was L.A. The
it was L.A. I know. It gets all that. And they're like, hey, that wasn't an earthquake, dude. That was a fart. No, seriously. So anyways, the fucking earth started shaking, bro. And all this crazy. All like, oh, my God. Imagine I'm high for the first time. And then a fucking earthquake hits. Dude, damn. my heart came out of my mouth.
Yeah, it hard.
I was sure the duck of the school that day for sure, dude. Fucking. We all ran. Everybody was, oh, dude, my parents are going to be calling. Everybody ran. It was like they ran back to school trying to jump the fucking fence to get back because they're going to be doing roll call.
Oh, oh yeah. Oh, so no. Dude,
it was like, oh, everybody's running. I said, fuck it, man. I'm going to come up with a lie. I'm going to say that I jumped out of
holy
the class.
Crap, that's
and I just
the worst.
And then I told my parents, like, where were you? Oh, I just fucking ran out of school, man. I just came. I walked all fucking day, dude.
Yeah.
To my house.
Yeah, see, that's why, like, I didn't want to risk, like, whenever we would go somewhere or whatever, like, at, like, lie, I would be, like, scared because, like, right there, the earthquake. You guys are all supposed to be in school.
I'm gonna share this story with you. This is for our listeners only.
Yeah.
Second time I felt an earthquake. I was on a date that night. We had a great time. We went dancing, we know. And then after that, you know, you want to see my duck? She's like, yeah, I want to see your duck. So then I went to go see the duck. And dude, the fucking earth starts shaking, bro. 2 o'clock in the morning, bro. I was like, oh, fuck. We weren't even home. We had to get up and get the fuck out of there, dude. Oh my god, dude! It was a sign. I was like, maybe I shouldn't be messing around with this chick. I don't know.
Maybe it was
that good. It was
the love was so powerful. You made the earth shake.
I know. Sass.
Did you have the burn mark on your butt by then, or no? That was later.
Bro. That guy still has a scar in his ass. And if you're probably wondering, what are you guys talking about? There's a podcast about that ass burn.
Yeah, if you want to know some of our crazy, horrible, not Valentine stories, but they were just like relationship or dating mishaps and everything, listen to our Valentine's Day episode special. I don't remember what number it is, but it was recent. Because then you'll know what we're talking about with Freddie's ass. And I did a lot of homework on these guys. Like Cheech and Chong, years ago, I saw the E! True Hollywood Story on Cheech and Chong, but I didn't really remember a lot of it. Right. So I was like, you know what? I want to get refresh on these guys. Like I want to learn about them. So all day, you know, Sunday, I was looking up, listening, watching everything, interviews, little biographies.
Yeah.
And one of the things they talk about, that there's an old interview that's like late 70s. They predict the future now. And they start asking them about weed. What do you think how weed? And they start saying that, look, like they believe that this weed could help. There's medical purposes in them that could benefit for people, help them, heal them, ease their pain, blah, 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 all this stuff. And they just laughed at them like, yeah, right. And that's true, because it was like, oh, they were right all along. Like, yeah, look at weed now. They do use it. Cancer patients, like from long ago, I knew someone that was having to go through chemo and they lost appetite. They took weed so that they can get an appetite and eat, bro, you know?
Bro, look, I'm just sharing this. I'm sharing it because I learned a lot with my dad. My dad was dying of cancer. You know, he was like, he was a strong man and he was losing a lot of his strength. So the weed really, I remember when we first gave him Richard Simpson, the oil. Sorry, get this right. It was the oil. So we gave him a drop of that and we waited. And I went back to see him. He had his arms on his head and his legs like kicking back, relaxed. I was like, Dad, how do you feel? Oh, I feel fine, mijo. I'm actually hungry. For the first time in months, he didn't want to eat. Cool. So my mom made a beautiful homemade dinner. We sat down in the table. He still had the strength to get up. And we sat down and we were just tripping out. Like he was happy. He enjoyed film. And I said, do you feel okay with this, Dad? Do you still want to eat? He goes, yeah, I like this. I don't want to take any of the other stuff. Dude, all the other stuff gave him blood clots. It gave him a heart attack. Dude, I went to that was horrible, bro. And the magic of weed. And that's why Cheech and Chong, I also did research, you know, and they both are just, I mean, they were ahead of their time. Think about it, bro. This was like early 70s. It's taken me, for me, it's been a lifetime. I'm going to be 50 in April. So look where we're at now. You know, it's crazy. So you know, they say, oh, these were pot movies.
Technically they were. Like the very first one they did. But
of course.
Yeah, like see, what they talked about in interviews is that they, because it's kind of a funny one too, where they're, it's in the UK, they're doing an interview in the UK, and see, the, this was like maybe like a few years ago, so it was recent, this interview, and they bring up that that when they did this movie, like, though, they wanted to show that pot isn't bad, basically,
right?
Like, because at the time it was, they were made it to me like it's evil, like the whole reefer madness, like it could make you kill your parents and blah blah blah, like all this stuff, in which he literally says that, and you hear the person interview, oh well, it's like literally say, he's like, oh, but it might, you know, because in the UK, based on, you know, our buddies at Lore School Podcast, when we interviewed them, they brought up how like weed is still crazy illegal over there.
Oh, I know.
So yeah, that's why, yeah, like, yeah, the interviewer probably had to still say, like, act like as if weed is bad, because but they were pointing out, like, no, we wanted to do this movie and show a different side. Like, this is what was going on, and anything you saw about weed was all negative. Well, we wanted to show how it's fun, like, it's not bad. And that's kind of where, like, the, you know, the movie, like, how they went down that route to do this. But at the same time, it all started from a skit, like, skits that they would do. Like, they put all these skits together. Because they go back, like, so Cheech, like, he was born here. Like, it said he was born in South Central, but they point him out to, like, East LA a lot all the time. And mostly, I guess, because of the movie. But he, during the Vietnam War, he's like, F this, dude. Like, I'm against the war. I don't want to go. So he became a draft dodger.
Right.
He bailed. He took off and he went to Canada.
Yeah.
While he was in Canada, and he was smart, dude, in college, everything, like, he bailed. He took off and he learned of this guy who was Chong, who's Tommy Chong, who was from Vancouver. His dad was Chinese and his mom was Canadian. So he's mixed. And he was a musician. So he was in a band with Motown, and they've actually performed in acts, and one of their opening acts was the Jackson 5 before the Jackson 5 broke huge. Freaking, they ended up firing him from Motown, in which this is the one thing, I don't know if it's true or not, because they didn't say it was a joke, but Cheech Marin says they fired him because they found out he wasn't black. And then that's when, like, the guy, the interviewer was like, wait, is that true? Because it sounds like a joke. And they said, yeah. So I don't know if that's true or not. But, you know, at that point, you got this guy who owned the strip club, who was Chong. And then Cheech, that was his nickname, Cheech. He gets introduced to him. And then they start doing improv. And they were doing jokes falling flat, just being terrible. It wasn't until they start doing, like, well, what's popular? Like, the hippie movement's going on, weed, the subculture of drugs. So that's when they started doing all these skits with these characters, with Pedro and the man. So it was like, you know, you got Cheech, like, hey, man, like, you know, let's do
what's happening. Hey, yeah, let's do some drugs. Hey, let's get some chicks. Let's rock and roll. Hey, let's
and go. You got Chong, man. Yeah. All right, yeah, man. Let's do this, man. And then, boom. At that point, they started touring, making money, records.
Yeah.
And by that point, they're like, you guys got to make a movie out of this. And that's where they went. They ended up making a movie.
See, I couldn't. Well, I see, growing up, see, my dad was very, I'm glad he was strict, because my dad was just old school. He didn't get Cheech and Chong. He told me, I don't want you to listen to these guys. Those are marihuanos. It's bad
stuff. Yeah.
That was the history back then, you know, like, okay, shit. So a friend of mine had a Cheech and Chong album, and his dad was never home, and the parents, he worked for, like, the Daily News, so he was, like, you know, making all this money, and that's why I got to enjoy MTV, because his dad was, I mean, he was into technology, so he bought all the high-end stuff. Not that, yeah, my father couldn't afford it, it's just like, you know, he would always buy the cool stuff, and then, so anyways, we would just hang out with him and watch. I don't even know where the story is going out. See, yeah, it's hitting me.
In the weed.
What the hell was I going to take? What was I going? Well, where am I going with this?
I don't know where you're going, but you started talking about how your father. I couldn't even say it. I mean,
your father.
Míralo,
están todos drogados.
You said your father was strict and he didn't let you watch Cheech and Chong.
Oh, yes. Going back to Cheech and Chong. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I got to listen to one of their records with my friend. So we put it on, and dude, it was funny just to listen to them. to hear that kind of comedy and kind of like, that was like, what are you guys listening to? And, you know, nothing, mom, you know, and the mom was there, always there, but she didn't know what we were listening to.
Yeah.
And, so I didn't get to see a movie till later on in my life, like probably my adult life, like, oh, I'm gonna check this out. And then I would break out a joint and say, I'm gonna enjoy this and break out a joint and watch this. And I just recently, I watched this and I really enjoyed it. This was like, not like what people thought back in what it was. Like, I, you know, people say, ah, don't watch that. That's not who didn't get it. And me watching it today, I got it. And it's still hilarious. I trip out. Just the comedy these two, you know, generated together.
Dude, like the whole like first.
Intro.
How many minutes is in just the whole car? When he gets in the car to like,
yeah,
that whole thing is hilarious, dude.
By the way, these guys, okay, so yeah, like you said, they made their record. They're all, you know, and they say, hey, what's next? Well, let's do a movie. And that's how Up in Smoke became their first movie. And they weren't getting paid. They were like, fuck, let's get our friends. So they got their friends involved. So, and they were pretty much improving everything, like making things up as the movie. They kind of like, they knew where they wanted to go in the direction. But see, that's what's cool about this movie, because it was so free. Like the script, it was written as they went along, you know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Cause like there's this one guy that they said, it was a producer called Lou Adler. No, did I say Lou Adler?
Lou Adler.
I just want to make sure it's the correct. Yeah, Lou Adler.
Okay.
He's directed by him, Lou Adler. He saw them do a show. So he came to them and said, like, hey, you guys should, let's make a movie. Come on, let's do this. They went to Paramount Pictures.
They went,
they filmed it, and then they went and did a screening for the head bigwig. Michael Eisner at the time, he was the head of Paramount. He's the guy who, after left Paramount, was running Disney for a good amount of years. Well, Eisner saw this and said, what the hell is this? This is garbage. Like, I don't want to release this. So then Lou Adler said, all right, you know what? I'm going to buy it from you guys so I could own it. So right. He went and put in, he paid, you know, he's like, go ahead. So he took the movie and had to put in his money because he believed in this film.
I bet it was $800. It was made for $800, bro.
$800.
Yes. And that was from an interview.
Not $800,000, not $800. Pinche pato right here.
Dude, I could have sworn Cheech said $800, bro.
No, 800. No, because I saw the 800,000. 800. Okay. Damn. They probably just said 800, referring to 1,000. Because you know, that's how much. Course. That's how much it costs. Look, if you go to Wikipedia,
and they were making money,
$2 million. The budget was not $2 million.
No, it wasn't.
They said it was $800,000.
Okay.
And then Paramount was like, all right, you know what? We'll buy it back. We'll put in distribute, blah, blah, blah. So Paramount decided to bring it back on board. And this movie was just, the amount it cost was a massive hit. And it was huge, dude, for them.
Huge.
Yeah. These guys were
ahead of their time.
Concert.
Yeah.
Level openers, because this is one of the things I do remember from the whatchamacallit, Behind the Music episode or whatever, not the Behind the Music, but the Each Wilder Story, Cheech and Chong. They were showing footage that there was big rock bands of the time from like the late 70s to like early 80s, like were having them open for them. And people were loving them, cheering them. Like, yeah, dude, they were at a rock level audience, dude. Like that stadiums.
Lily, I've been watching Elvis videos. I don't know why, but I think they met. They also met Elvis. I don't know.
Probably. I mean, they met a lot of people. Like that's why.
Well,
Chong knew Michael Jackson, and he would tell him. Chong would tell Cheech. He would be like, he's like, you know, he's like, hey. He's like, we discovered them, man. We brought them on, better, better. And he's like, they're big because of us. And then Cheech is like, yeah, get out of here. And he said one time, it was like 80, 85 or some shit. They were at the Roxy and he saw Michael Jackson. So Cheech beelined it straight to him and went to Michael. And he asked him, he said, is it true that Chong discovered you guys? and Michael Jackson responded like he does the whole thing. Yeah, in an interview, he's like, oh yeah, I know. It was because you know, he brought us on, and he's like, what the hell? He was telling the truth this whole time. Like, yeah, like they have like a fascinating life, and these guys were smart. Like they were smart, but they were playing these dumb,
you know, characters. Exactly. You would think, these guys are dumb, you know, they're a bunch of hippies who are just smoking weed, and they're, you know, you gotta, you know, these guys are just going nowhere, they're just promoting low lives and all that. I mean, I don't know, bro. I mean, I don't know if people were like living their life back then. I mean, it was kind of funny, kind of what life was back in the late 70s. I love the fact that this film was filmed all over LA. Dude, I can spot every location, especially the 210 freeway, bro. And that whole neighborhood, like Old Town Pasadena. South Pasadena. You know, and then they filmed Riverside Drive, which is off the 10 freeway.
Yeah.
Dude, it's just awesome.
And there's this one cool little part. Because this is like awesome, like history right here. This is for like the geek side, because this was when it was released. They're on Hollywood Boulevard. In the background, you see the Chinese theater on the marquee.
Hold on. Wow, dude, you spotted that one too, huh?
Yeah. Did you see what it said?
Yes. Can we say it together?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Ready? One, two, three.
It's Star Wars.
Yeah,
Star Wars.
And I'm just dude. Wow, dude.
I paused it, bro, because I remember, dude, talk about nostalgia. Yes, shit took me back because I was in my father took me to see Star Wars with the family in line and seeing that marquee, bro.
Yeah, and then
that was that time. That was like, 1979.
That's history right there, fool. Yeah, fucking dude.
Yeah. So if you watch this film, you guys, you're gonna see a lot of history. Like if you look around, like for that, you know, like we just mentioned right now, that one scene where they're driving down Hollywood and you see the man's Chinese and you see Star Wars. That was happening that time.
And then, like, one of the things about this film that I find kind of creepy. It's creepy, but it was so normal back when. Not the pervy part, but what you would do is that back when, like, people would like hitchhike all the time, like nothing, like they would hitchhike always, and they kind of make they do that with Chong. He's hitchhiking, but like, you know, even then, like, because Cheech pulls up to these two girls, they seriously look like they're high schoolers. And he asks them, hey, you want to ride? They're like, no. He's like, sure, we can, no. And then he even says, he's like, they're jailbait anyways. I was like, what the
My God, dude.
I was like, that was kind of creepy. But yeah, dude, like, this movie, like, about, I honestly love this movie. The jokes in this film are fucking funny. Like when he goes, like, dude, he's like, when he has the joint, he's like, hey man, what is this, man? And he's like,
what's in this shit, man?
Mostly Maui Wowie, man.
Yeah,
but it's got some Labrador in it.
What's Labrador?
It's dog shit.
What?
Yeah, my dog ate my stash, man. Had it on the table and the little motherfucker ate it, man.
Yeah?
So I had to farm around a little baggie for 3 days before I got it back. Really blew the dog's mind.
You mean we're smoking dog shit, man?
You're oxygen.
You die, I know.
Oh my God, dude.
And then I like when they're like, all right, see this movie. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's do it real quick.
Yeah.
So the movie is directed by Lou Adler. It stars Tommy Chong and Cheech Marin. This movie was released in 1978. And this movie is the very first film that started the genre today of the stoner comedy. So when you see Friday, when you see freaking...
All of them.
Yeah, Harold and Kumar, you know, and I'm trying to remember the rest.
These guys are the godfathers that started it out.
These guys were the first.
After this was, that's it.
And all these stoners respect Cheech and Chong. I saw an interview where Snoop Dogg was excited to join the interview to talk to these guys.
Well, yeah, dude, they're the godfathers, bro.
Yeah, and then like the guys who wrote Harold and Kumar, they were like inspired by Up in Smoke, because Up in Smoke, here's the thing about this film. You had a Chicano, and then you had a guy who was mixed. He was half Chinese, and they didn't look like your average actors of the time making this stoner movie. So that's why these writers, they knew a lot of Asian guys and a lot of, you know, Indian guys, and that's why they wrote their film, and they felt comfortable making the leads an Asian and an Indian guy, the Harold and Kumar. And there's an interview with them talking about that. Like, they attribute everything of their first film to Up in Smoke. Like, all these guys, like, they actually, like, give credit to these guys. I mean, this was, like, huge, especially because, I mean, come on. Like, at the time of Hollywood at this time, all you saw was white people. So it was awesome to see, you know, a Chicano on screen. You know, aside from Edward James Olmos, here's Cheech Marin doing these films and having this character. Like,
not only that, the freedom to do something about weed.
Yeah. So, right.
So, yeah. So the movie's about two guys who just they found each other and they want to hang out. They want to form a rock and roll band in Hollywood. Yeah. Yeah. And I just want to find a joint and get high. That was it. That's what the whole movie
Yeah, that's what it's about.
So throughout the movie, but then you have the cops too who are out there, the narcs. And this guy is hilarious, dude. Sergeant Sedenko.
Oh, yeah.
That guy's hilarious. He's just so desperate to catch his first big heist.
Like, and he keeps getting peed on.
Oh, dude, those guys, it was just excellent casting because these guys are like, we're representing the cops back in those days, catching pot. You know, I love that one scene when they're in the border
With the nuns.
Yes, but they went in.
I have you on screen. Stupid. My wife is getting all naked right now in front of you.
What? I didn't even notice.
I'm on camera, love. All right. Let's talk about scenes, because honestly, like, I gotta admit that the film starts off really strong. The middle part, I feel like it's towards the end where it starts to get a little slow until the performance. But there's a certain part where it kind of goes a little, because in the beginning, it's joke after joke, dude. It's hilarious. Well, it's funny.
It has to start that way. Of course, it's going to have his dips, you know, in this type of movie. You know, it's like, it's hard to be, it's like high throughout, what, an hour and a half of this film? You know, from like, oh man, I'm so high. I've never been that high for an hour and a half watching a movie like this. Well,
when he's so high, he's like, hey man, am I driving okay? He's like,
oh dude, that scene was hard, hilarious,
man.
There's some things that people just need to trip out. How in the hell did that car drive in the highway with all that smoke?
Right?
Who was driving it? Even if I was like sober as, there's no way. Unless it was a remote control and they used it.
I thought that too. A visual aspect of like the production side. I'm like, how'd they pull this off? Like, where? See, how that's did they what draw I, this?
Yeah, when they draw when this, they were
now they pull. Ah, fuck.
No, because look, I'll save you.
Okay.
If you watch that scene, that car is hauling ass with smoke inside. And there's cars, you know, it's like, no, it's just crazy how they would film.
It is. And then, like, I like when, like, afterwards he's like, hey, man, what's in this, man? I don't know what kind of. He's like, what'd you give me, man? I don't know. And
he's like, he's like tripping. I was like, oh, you give me acid, dude. Oh, my God. I'm going to fucking
trip. No, he does it by accident. See, movies have done that trope where they're like, here, take this. And then they take it. And then they're like, wait, hold on. No, that's the wrong thing. Take this instead. Like, movies have done that. Like, I could think of another one with Jack Black in it called Orange County. like yeah. where they it's the wrong pills are given. Well, here right. where they start where he's like here, man, take this, and then he takes it. He's like, oh wait, hold on, man, don't take it. And he's like, why? He's like, I almost gave you the wrong stuff. Why I took it? And he's like, oh, he's like, what do you mean? Oh. He's like, you just took the most acid out of anybody in my life. He's like, I hope you're not busy for a month.
Oh yeah, dude, that was hilarious.
Hey man, am I driving okay?
I think we're parked, man.
God damn, what was in that shit, man? I never had no dope like that before in my life, man. That's the heaviest shit I ever smoked, man. I mean, I smoked a lot of shit before, man, but god damn, man, that's heavy shit.
You okay?
I can't breathe.
What's the matter?
I can't breathe, man.
We're just, we're here. Hey, man. Oh. Hey, I got something to mail you out, man. You're just freaking out. Here.
I never smoked no shit like that before.
Take these, what? Man. Take these. This will mail you out, man.
What is this, man?
Just take them, man. Oh. Hey, don't take those, man.
What?
I almost gave you the wrong shit, man.
Hey, man, I already took them, man. Hey, what do you mean?
Wow, man.
Hey, what was that shit, man?
You just ate the most acid I've ever seen anybody eat in my life.
Hey, man, I never had no acid before, man.
Jeez, I hope you're not busy for about a month.
You know, it's funny. I counted the times that they got pulled over by the cops. I think it was four.
Yeah, he got four pulled times. Over a lot.
Yeah, four times, dude.
Which is your favorite? There's one of my favorites when they...
Oh, dude. I like the one where they're driving the Yeska van.
No. Yeah. The and I was the telling cop, my kid, no, not you.
Oh. No. And the cop, dude, and he comes over and he's like, hey, man, can I have that? He's like, what, the hot dog? Yeah.
Because
dude, he got a big sniff out of the joint. I mean, because it was like from was, the exhaust.
Yeah, it was. No. Yeah.
What? No, no. No, something was burning from the back. Yes, a little bit of, from the exhaust. It was because, you know, the van is made out of weed.
Yeah, though, that's how they sneak it in. That's kind of like one of the subplots about the movie is these narcotics.
Yeah.
I can't say it, but the narcotics agents are trying to get, like, they're trying to stop these everybody from weed or whatever.
Yeah.
So what Mexico is doing is they basically build cars, televisions, things out of weed, and they ship them here. So that's how they're doing it to not get caught. So Cheech and Chong, they're in Tijuana. I like, you know what? I never caught this before. I love how how they go to Tijuana. He's like, they're at a house. Like, hey, it's La Migra. Don't worry about it. My cousin called it. He's getting married, and it's a free trip.
Dude, I love La Migra on himself. Yes.
And if you guys are wondering what La Migra is, it's immigration. It's the officers. And then so he calls La Migra on himself and all his family, so they get a free bus ride to Tijuana for his wedding.
I found that hilarious, bro.
I was like, I don't remember that. There's stuff like, because it's been years since I've seen this movie.
Yeah,
but
I just caught that too, dude. That was hilarious. Like, oh, that's...
Yeah, so while they're in TJ, they're supposed to pick up a van that they don't know. It's a van covered in weed. So they bring it across the U.S., but there's that scene that Freddie was referencing that I love, because the cop is gonna pull him over. So Chong is like, he's like, hey man, like, come out, I don't have my license. He's like, what do you mean you don't have your license? Yeah, he's like, come on, man. And then so the cop's about to walk up, and I love it because when the cop walks up, you got Chong sitting on Cheech's lap.
Oh, that's right.
And it looks hilarious. So like, it's that's hilarious. Just the way they look is funny. But then the cop looks at him and he's like, what Whatever. Do you want? Yeah. No, he just says, what do you want? They're like, what?
What do you guys want?
Nothing.
You mind if I have a bite of your hot dog?
Oh, yeah, man. You can have the whole thing.
Yeah. All
right. Want some Fritos?
Come on. Hang on.
What?
And he's high. And I'm like, that saves him. That's when he gives him the hot dog. So there's that funny moment. You know, like there's a lot, like there's a lot of great stuff in this movie.
The other scene, sorry, that I'm just
No, that's the point, man. We're just revisiting and talking about the stuff we love.
When Chong is in the kitchen and the girl walks in, and Chong, Ajax. And he's messing around with like Ajax, like, and he's got, he made some lines just joking around. This girl walks in and she's like, "Oh, where have you been all my life?"
Yeah.
She's like, and he's like, "Oh my God." And she takes a full on snorting all four lines of Ajax. And dude, this chick was hilarious, dude. When she starts going,
when she gets high, she's like,
she was hilarious, bro. And then she does it again later on throughout the film.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those moments in this film. Yeah, there's a dip, but then it picks up again towards the end, and then it's a fun, right?
Like it's towards the end. There's a little part where it's just like when they're getting to the whole battle of the bands, you know? And what's cool is that they fill a lot of the music in this movie. Like, all right, this is confusing. Honestly, this is confusing. So the cops come. Remember in the beginning, when they were one of the first pullovers?
Yeah.
Cheech just picks up Chong. He's like, "Thanks, man." He's like, "Oh, I had to sleep outside. I almost freeze my balls off," you know, like, right. And he picks him up and stuff. As a cop pulls up, and then a random car crashes into the cop.
Oh, dude, I started laughing.
What the hell? I was like, what the hell was that?
I was like, but that was hilarious, dude, because they're like, "Hey, man," that's like, boom.
Yeah, and that's a skit.
Yeah, and then they took off. Well, that was the get in. They're like, "Fuck it, I'm able to get away, man." So they were able to get away. But that was hilarious. That random. This, you know, those cars were made of steel, bro. In the 70s, let me tell you, man, there was no fiberglass. It was like, bam.
Yeah, because like that's one of their skits. I think it might be Wink Dinkerson, maybe. I don't know. It's one of their skits from their first album. Where they do that, where they're like, he picks them up and he's like, "Hey man, you can't get a lift." He's like, "Yeah, come on." And they do that, like, "Oh, it's like, here's this weed," and he drives off like, "Rah." He's like, "Let me off here." So that's part of the skit. But when they get pulled over, he's high and they're trying to hide it, and he's stoned, and he's like, "What's your name?" He's like, "Doesn't I say my name right there?" You know, and this and that. Yes. And like when they go to like to court, and it's weird because they go to court, and then after the court scene, it's like a regular day. So it's like weird because it's like, why do they go to court? Did they use that just to play one of their songs? Because they play a song from their album. It's the Framed, you know, and then I Was
Framed, which is a song from the
It's a cover.
Oh, it's a cover, yeah.
The 50s. Yeah. But then after that, it shows them like back at the house just chilling. Like, well, that was a weird.
Well, no, it's you go into court. And you sing your song, and then you go back home and smoke more weed. That was it, bro. I gotta go eat a hot dog. I'm hungry.
Well,
dude.
Next time I go, if I ever go to court, I'm on next time. Como? Whenever time. I go to court, I'm gonna sing a song, and maybe they'll let me go.
Hey, I sing Depeche Mode. You like it, Judge?
But yeah, but like you know, there, it's like.
It's a movie. It's a pod movie, dude. We got to keep it going, man.
Yeah. Oh, the nuns with the nuns, like when they're
first that was going, hilarious.
They're trying to get through the van, like through the border, and then he's like, "Hey, get rid of that." He's like, "All right, man." So he throws it over, and it lands in the nun's car, and then that's when he's like, "How long you been in Mexico?" And he's like,
"How long you guys been in Mexico?"
"A week. I mean, they did that day."
"Which one is it? A week or a day?"
"A weekday."
"You got any narcotics or marijuana in here?"
"Not anymore."
"What?"
"A weekday." And then that's when the nun's thing catches on fire. And then there's like that's how they get out, the distraction, because they think they're
the narcs are there, and then all the cops are, "This is it. This is the high bus we've been waiting for, and it's the nuns."
And then when they search them, did you see some of their faces? Oh, yeah.
Some of them are like, "Ooh." They're like,
"Yeah," they're like
"Whoa." Like, in shock, like, "Whoa, no one's been touching me there." Whoa,
yeah,
whoa.
Only Jesus.
Ay, Dios mío. Ay, Dios mío. Ay, Dios mío.
I like the one Spanish phrase that he actually says in the whole entire movie is when he pulls out the giant joint. He goes, hijo de la chingada. That's the only time you hear him speak Spanish in the whole movie.
Exactly. Exactly, bro.
but hey, Lowrider, the song, came out in this movie, dude. When you hear Lowrider, everyone thinks of George Lopez now, you know, the show. But right here, dude, it starts off with that song.
By the way, George Lopez stole Cheech's joke when he goes, oh, what happened? Oh, I cannot breathe.
Oh, really?
He said that first, yes. And it's that scene when they're in the car and he thinks he's going to die because he took all those, you know, he took the acid, you know, and he's like, oh, no. And watch that scene exactly at George Lopez.
But George Lopez talks about a heart attack, no?
Same thing. But the way he said it, bro. Oh, I cannot breathe.
I got a pain in my chest.
In my chest. And I cannot breathe. Yes, exactly.
I got a pain in my chest and I can't breathe, dude.
George Lopez
in 2005, right? Or maybe 2004. I don't know what year it was, okay? But at my old job at Rainforest, when it would be inventory time, a lot of the coworkers would be in the back with me because I was a stalker. So I bought a boombox so I could play my music and shit. And like I had CDs of George Lupus. Lupus.
Oh my George God. George Lupus. Dude. Give me that. Stay away from George Lupus.
Fucking George Lupus.
George Lupus.
No, George Lupus. George Lopez. God damn it.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I had like albums and I worked with a lot of white people back when, and they always wanted me to play George Lopez. So that comedy CD that featured that record, the I Got a Pain in My Chest and Gabri, got played a lot this one year for inventory.
I was working in an editing studio too during that time. And yeah, all my white friends, hey, play that George Lopez, dude. That guy's funny, man. I cannot breathe. Oh, that's funny, dude. You play that?
It's like the first three times I didn't mind, but it got to the point where like I was like, okay, yeah, no, like,
dude,
and then I got Carlos Mencia, and then they wanted just for me to play that all the time, you know.
Carlos Mencia, get out of here!
But nah, he's a faker.
He's a faker, stealer.
He stole all the jokes. But then you know what I hate about Carlos Mencia? Because this is what he says. He's like, I've been recording all my stand-up acts, every single performance I ever did, I recorded. So if you say I stole a joke, you tell me which one, I can go in my archives, I could find it when I first did it, and I did it first.
Dude, pendejo.
Get out of here, dude. I mean, yeah, we hate Bill Cosby now, but even he stole from him. There's like right there, Bill Cosby, one of his early shows stole that joke. There's a lot of stuff he stole.
Dude, I'm sorry. Pannis, he stole it. Yeah, like, he said.
Get out of here, fucking.
La verga, wey. That
you're like, what joke did I steal, huh? What did I steal?
I'm like, really, dude? I'm going to sit there and have you wait. Here's the video from 1990-something, whatever. Here's the one I first... Get the hell out of here.
That's just one of those things that it's a defense, like, dude, he uses. Because there's no way you're going to be like, okay, well, go find it. Like, he's just...
Dude, I just recently saw the most recent interview with him, and he's still bullshitting, dude. He's still like, oh, come on. Like, he said that, yeah, I'll show you the, you know, yeah, I'll show you the jokes that I did.
Dude, there's this documentary called I Am Comic, and you can find this online if you want to find this clip. But in that documentary, he says, hell yeah, I steal jokes. He's like, I'm like a rap artist. Like, I hear it. It's like a sample I take and I make it better.
Listen to me and look at me when I tell you this with all honesty. If you think that I steal jokes, fuck yeah, you're right. Of course I fucking steal jokes. Are you out of your fucking mind? When I come to a comedy club, you better run, bitch. You better get the fuck off stage. Because if anything you say is even remotely funny, I'm going to make it mine. And all I'm going to do is say Mexican in the front. I'm like a rapper. I just sample shit and make it my own. Was that really my song? I don't know. But it sounds like mine. But it kind of sounds like somebody else's. It's a hit, bitch.
Dave Chappelle talks about that too. And he talked about that. He learned that lesson at a very young age when he started, you know, knowing about the business, and some guy stole one of his jokes. Well, he said, can I borrow your one of your jokes? And he goes, yeah, sure, man. That's cool. I'll let you borrow my joke. And then when they played a gig together, that guy went up knowing that Chappelle was there. He said his joke, and now Chappelle couldn't do his joke. And then Chappelle later on said, "Hey, man, you know, I don't mind you using my joke, but don't do it when I'm like,
yeah,
here and I'm going to do it." And he's like, "So what?" So it's like, "What are you going to do about it? It's mine now."
Ah, you know, I think I've seen that interview. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a tough lesson. So, but that's what I'm saying. Going back to Cheech and Chong.
Yeah, I know. We went off on a tangent.
No. But everybody, dude, from all these comics, they've all learned from these guys, because these guys were the first stoners to give us that kind of entertainment. Not only that, to make millions for the studios to say, "Wow, there's a market for the marijuanos."
But here's the thing. They were a comedy act before the movie. Yeah,
of course. They built it up.
Yeah. They have, like, look, their first album, 1971, Cheech and Chong, their first album. And that's
where I was born in 1971, bro.
There you go.
They're so that's what I'm saying. I grew up listening to, I mean, the whole.
And they won a Grammy for best comedy recording at the 14th annual Grammy Award, number 14. Goddamn.
Dude, there was no others like them.
Oh, no. It was nominated, but it lost to Lily Tomlin. Well, they won a Grammy, but I don't know which record.
Won a Grammy? God dang, Los Marihuanos won a Grammy?
Oh, yeah, they won a
Grammy. Who cares?
See, they have Dave. This is where the Dave, where there's knocking like, "Hey, man, I got the stuff. Let me in."
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
He's like, "It's me, Dave."
Dave's not here, man.
Yeah, but then
it came from that.
"It's Dave, man. Will you open up? I got the stuff with me. Dave, man, open up."
Dave?
Yeah, Dave.
Dave's not here.
No, man. I am Dave, man. Will you? Come on. Open up the door, will you? I got the stuff with me. I think the cops saw me.
Who is it?
Oh, what the hell is it? Man, open up the door. It's Dave.
Who?
Dave. D-A-V-E. Will you open up the goddamn door? Yeah, Dave.
Dave?
Right, man. Dave. Now, will you open up the door?
Dave's not here.
Oh.
Yeah, but now they're making films, and they're generating even more money now in films. And
yeah, they have like a lot. Like they have some other songs that it was in the movie. It's off of the Wedding Album. Even like Duran, they have an album, but it's actually called the Wedding Album. It's called Earache My Eye, with Alice Bowie. Is it Earache? How do you spell Earache, love?
E-A-R-A-C-H.
Yeah, so it is Earache. Sorry, I'm a prayer. Earache My Eye, that's the one where it's like, that's the song they play at the end of the Roxy, because they win the battle of the bands. And that was one of their
that's
songs.
That's so like, cool to see.
That song is so massive.
Oh, yeah, it's huge. I just like the fact that there were shots of the Roxy during that time. What was happening at the Roxy? If you see the billboards out in front where it said New Wave. It was New Wave night, and it was Battle of the Bands. So you got to see what was happening in L.A., all these bands. And those were real bands, real local bands from L.A. playing at the Roxy, bro. Dude, I've been fortunate to play there 5 times in my lifetime, bro.
Yeah.
Roxy. And it's a fucking legend. It's still there today, thank God. I don't know how long it's going to be, those places, but like you still have the whiskey. But yeah, the Roxy, bro. They played the Roxy, and that whole scene – and the movie is so famous, him wearing the, you know.
There's been some conventions dress. I've gone to where, like, I've caught, like, a few cosplayers dressed like that. It's so cool. I know I have a picture with
one iconic. Of them. Iconic.
Yeah, with the, like, the Mickey ears, the pink tutu. Yeah, and they play that, like, I know, like a lot of artists have covered Earache With My, like, one of the more, the what I know my wife just said one, but I don't remember who. She was referring to, but like I know Korn has it, and they got Cheech Marin to do the vocals. So at the end of Follow the Leader, the last song, they play that, and it's Cheech Marin singing along to it. So it's pretty cool, and then they, you know, a bunch of other bands that. Oh, so, and then Eminem sampled the actual
of course he did.
on one of his albums for Revival. Right. Side of you, pull up on the side of you, window roll down, profile. Then we wonder why we see the side of you. Probably coming from the dope house. We can let you slide, but your tail light is blue. Out. We know you're hiding that Heidi Klum on you. Another drug charge, homie. It's back in. But yeah, dude, it's huge. It's like this movie.
Well, they're icons, dude. The legend.
It's groundbreaking. These characters are groundbreaking.
Yeah, and to this day, bro, look, they're still alive.
Yeah, they're still alive. Chong went to jail because he was selling bongs.
Yeah, it was for ridiculous. 9 months, dude. And by the way, if you guys want to know about that, you can find that interview on YouTube.
There's a documentary all about Chong. You can watch it free on YouTube.
Yeah, so check that out. And not only, and he also had cancer, and he, by him, just cannabis, 05, bro, all gone.
05, yeah. It was his first, it was prostate.
Yeah.
And he said weed cured him. Like, he, yeah, all he did was started, that's when he started doing weed again. But yeah, then he got rectal, his most recent cancer. So he's just doing a lot of weed. They also have a roast of Cheech and Chong. The whole thing is on YouTube. I watched it. It's really good. It's really funny. They got some funny jokes there. And then you have two comedians who are no longer around, Ralphie May and Greg Giraldo. They're there, but you know, they've passed. But then you also see Geraldo Rivera. You know, it's weird seeing him because right now he's so far right and like so pro, like all the, it's just like, that fucking guy terrible. But back when, like, you see him there, and he was huge friends with Cheech and Chong. That's why he's there. And he's like, oh, I've been all over, we've smoked everywhere, blah blah blah. Tom Arnold's there. Like, it's a good one. For some reason, what's his name? The guy from that 70s show, the one Latino, I forget his name. He was there. Yeah, Wilmer Valderrama from the hit MTV show Your Mama.
Okay.
No, that's fucking garbage. But anyways, there's a lot of stuff on Cheech and Chong you could watch. I have Apple Music, so I was listening to a lot of their skits, their albums and stuff. They're huge. They did have a falling out, and Chong admits to it was him, and here's the reason why. And Cheech, they've talked about it.
Yeah,
Chong by the second film became the director, and it got to his head. He wanted to be in control about everything. Like, he got so demanding that him and Cheech started clashing. So at that point, Cheech just said, I'm gonna go off and do something on my own. And that's why he went and did Born in East LA. You know, that is from a song, Get Out of My Room.
Yeah, exactly.
We had that album and the VHS when I was a kid. We watched it all the time. And that's where Born in East LA came from. And they're like, hey, that song is so funny, let's make a movie out of it. So they came to him, like, make a movie. So he's like, all right. So they made a movie, but Chong wasn't in it. That was the first time, except for El Jesus, the Jesus picture. That's Chong.
That's him. Yeah. That's Chong, exactly, you know? Dude. Yeah. I was like, well, there's a little bit of him in that movie.
Yeah. And then one of the last movies they did wasn't Cheech and Chong anymore. I mean, they didn't want to do their Pedro and the Man style characters. Like, hey, man, like, they did something completely different. And that movie was a huge flop.
Because it's what the audience wants. I mean, as I'm saying, look at what happened. You know, even Chong said, the more money, the more greedy people get, and you lose your mind. You're making, you're making all this movie, all this cash, you know, you're smoking all this dope.
In the 2000s, I remember they tried doing reunions. Like, I remember when they first did a reunion, like, they first came back, like, oh, Cheech and Chong. But it always bothered me because Cheech needs his mustache. I hate the way Cheech looks as his character without the mustache.
I know, but you know what? It's like,
he needs to grow it. He can grow it. Like, I don't know.
It's like Yanni too, dude. He took that shit off too. If you don't know who Yanni is, he's a major new age musician. I love that shit. But he took it off too. And I was like, dude,
ponte el
mustache. No, ese no es Yanni. Ese es el ya no tiene el mustache. Dude, one day, one Halloween, I dressed up like Yanni, bro.
Oh, really?
Funny. Yes, I dressed up all white like he does, and I had the mustache.
Dude, yeah,
long hair. It looked amazing, and I had a keyboard with me, and people caught it. You're like, "Hey, Yanni!" I was like, "Yeah."
You're like, "Oh, you got it."
But going back to I don't know. I mean, people grow out of their characters, you know, and sometimes
they they've been trying to do a reunion. They tried to do a movie, but if like that's when he first got the cancer, and so they paused it. Then they came back again, tried to do a reunion again, and they were set to do a movie. They actually did do a whole tour of like the Cheech and Chong tour. They came back, sold out everywhere. Dude, those guys did really well, but when he went to jail, that's what stopped the movie.
Yeah, so they're in their 70s.
Yeah. Right?
They're
in their 70s. And one of the things, though, there's this one movie that was never made, and it almost happened. And I swear, like, it was in the 80s, and I wish it would have gotten made. And they were trying to do it in the style of, like, back then. Do you remember Abbott and Costello? They would do Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein, meet the mummy, you know, the Invisible Man. They wanted to do that. Cheech and Chong and Jason. So they had Cheech and Chong as camp counselors while Jason shows up and starts killing. And they're there like, what the hell? Like, and it would have been like a half comedy hash, but it never got produced. But it almost became a thing. I was like, fuck, like that would have been so cool to see Cheech and Chong and Jason. Yeah, it's just one of those that in an alternate universe, it exists. Kind of like Jane Silent Bob. They almost did a Jane Silent Bob with like horror characters with like Hellraiser. Was it Freddy, Jason, Michael Myers? Because New Line Cinema at the time, the Weinsteins owned some of these characters. He even had a talk with them. And they almost did it, but it never happened with Jason. That's why when you watch, there's a movie with Freddy versus Jason. There's a character who's very much like Jay from Jay and Silent Bob, who again, Cheech and Chong, Jay and Silent Bob, dude. It came from that. But yeah, so there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's our revisit of Up in Smoke, the Cheech and Chong movie. Smoke. We try to give you guys a lot. I mean, I feel like we gave a lot of history, so I think it's time that me and Freddy and Pedro and the man get into our DeLorean covered with mota everywhere.
Vámonos, let's go.
Drive through the border and travel back to the future. Yeah, no, bro, like, in high school, like, that was all my friends. Like, they were all, like, everybody was pious food. Like, I even know one of my friends went to rehab in high school. And the reason why is because one of our main friends was a huge pothead. And they would go to his house to go get high because he was a latchkey kid. So his mom and dad wouldn't come home until the evening. So they would go there, get all high at his house. But one day, one of the guys dropped a joint out of his pocket as he was leaving the yard. So right there in the front yard is a joint. So when the mom got home, picked it up, saw the joint and been like, what's this? At that point, he's like, fuck, like he got caught. So, you know, and he didn't want to rat out anybody. So he ended up going to rehab for a while. So
for a joint.
I know.
For a joint. And now we're all, hey, and give me a package of seven sativa and a package of damn, dude.
Yeah, dude, like that's what's hilarious because anytime I do a delivery, everybody, like, there's almost on average, dude, like, I get one, two, maybe like three a week that will tell me, like, man, this is so weird. Like just ordering weed and you guys bring it to me. Like, I feel like this is dirty.
Of course, like, bro. Of course, it's just so weird, dude. There's people in jail right now still because of these, of being caught with weed. And you know what, I started learning more about weed when my dad got diagnosed with terminal cancer.
Oh, okay.
And we wanted, of course, we went through the doctors and the whole system and all that, and unfortunately the doctors are not there to help you. They're not there to, they're just there to prescribe you the most incredible drugs that can kill you, you know. And so they were like giving my dad all these drugs to control his cancer. And my dad was just falling apart taking all these. So we wanted to take another measure. We just went, you know, holistic. We wanted to go natural. And we went and found out more about marijuana. And we did the Richard Simpson oil. We ended up getting that from my father. And you know what? We took that, helped my father. He ended up getting his appetite. Of course, he had terminal cancer, but he went. And my dad died on December 15th, 2013. But that last year, he was off those medications and just, you know, he lived a peaceful, you know, not with all those drugs, bro. He was just, you know, I remember when I took my dad to a dispensary, bro, he went with me. And after taking him to the doctor and I brought him, he goes, can't you just go get it from me, mijo? And I said, Dad, no, you got to come with me. We need to get, you know, I took him to the doctor to get a prescription, you know, the license back then. This was 7 years ago, bro.
Yeah.
So we ended up getting his card. And I had to get one, too, because you couldn't go into the dispensary without having those cards here in California. So then we walked in there and my first thing my dad said was like, wow, oh, mijo, it smells like mucha mota aquí, wow. And we walked in there, and then I said, we're like, well, what do you want? And, dude, my dad was like, this tripping out, like, ¿qué está pasando? I don't know, I'm in pain. And sure enough, there was a guy there who helped us out and gave us the proper, you know, leaf, the proper weed for my father. And he ended up, you know, taking that and making his life a little easier towards the end. Bro, man. And then after that, I ended up smoking too and learning about it. And
like, it's my turn.
And it's my turn too, you know? And believe me, and now with the pandemic, it's kind of just really helped me out in a way, because anxiety, stress, you know, the ups and downs with this pandemic, bro. And you know, weed has been a major, major, everybody's made money. Those weren't closed during the pandemic. So,
we were right? Open, bro. We were there.
We were open, right?
We were frontline. We were considered.
You were considered?
It's not considered. We were considered frontline workers.
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly, bro. So for me, yeah, weed was around me when I was young, but I didn't smoke it. I was just so anti. I didn't do any drugs. I mean, I just was so anti not doing drugs. And then later on, I was like, maybe I need some drugs, man. This fucking world is crazy. Shit. Give me some of that shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, I like this. Yeah. I just, you know, seriously, they're like, oh, freeze a marijuana now. He said it on the podcast.
Well, here's the.
What is.
Oh, hold on.
This has been a Brothers Bear Network production.